I am too. Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in here. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Great.
We're doing good.
Great. Great, Zach.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I feel like there's something.
No, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to see you guys.
Good.
Phil.
No crying today.
No crying today.
All smiles and laughing.
Just happy to be here. I feel like I don't trust you two right now. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, they got that weird look on their face. Right. Yeah. I think I'm with you.
I don't like this.
I literally just walked in. I've been here for 30 seconds. Oh, yeah. I have no idea what's going on with Phil.
Other than Zach calling me earlier today saying, hey, man, I just want to know, you know, what you wearing today. What are we wearing today?
I said, I'm wearing red shoes.
Uh-huh. And look at my man. Red shoes.
Okay. The red Converse?
I have red shoes on.
Nice. Yes. Those are cute.
Yes, with a red shirt. Shoes. You have red shoes on, too. Blood in, blood out.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
I don't know why I just felt like this tension when you guys came.
No, I literally just came racing in here. Okay. I've been a good day. I played basketball again.
Oh, wow.
I haven't played basketball in 3 years. I played twice this week, and I went back and beat that freaking dude who beat me two days ago.
I did. You got him.
Did you know he was going to beat him?
Yeah, I kind of was like, are you come here around this time? He's like, yeah.
And you just took a picture. You just showed up every day until he was there. Like, oh no, this is my first time back. Hey buddy, let's go, game on, revenge, baby.
It was awesome. So that like made my day. Even just playing twice, getting a little wind underneath me is just it's so crazy.
Was the guy mad?
No, he was disappointed, but it's all friendly. But it's crazy the endorphins that like fire within me.
And then afterwards.
When I get to play basketball.
Yeah, afterwards.
Yes.
Right. After.
Yes.
And then you look forward to it before now.
Yes.
Exactly.
And you know, on Tuesday or on Monday night, dude, I was in bed sound asleep at 10:30 because I moved my body in a way I haven't in years.
Yeah.
And I had like to have a little cocktail at night. That thing got poured 90 minutes later than I normally do because I'm like just recovering.
You actually poured it after the kids went down instead of way before the kids went down. It's good to know. All right. No, Daddy will be back in a little bit. Daddy, you didn't have your drink tonight.
I took care of that.
You know what? He just got yelled at. You're going to get yelled at.
I'm going to get yelled at again. Because I'm being mean to Zach. Yeah. Okay.
I tell us all this time.
My wife loves Zach a lot more than me.
Oh,
what do we think about tonight, fellas? How we feeling about the game? We looking forward to it? Big matchup? You could care less. Like how big is this one for y'all?
I think very rarely do I look at the number and say, I'm going to bet that.
Mm.
And it's 6.5 tonight. I am betting the Denver Nuggets to win and cover. I am.
Jamal up in there, Aaron Gordon up in there. You're going to monitor that first?
Definitely. But I'm expecting everyone to play. Bradley Beal left the game. Mm-hmm. Yusef Nurkic left the game.
Yeah.
He plays Jokic tough.
He does.
He takes it as a personal physical challenge, and he beats on Jokic, and they're not calling a bunch of fouls post-All-Star break. So I just think, and it's a payback game. Guys, the Nuggets have lost two games since the All-Star break, and we remember them off the top of our head because it's like, there's only two.
Yeah, that's why.
It's an overtime game, and it's a left hook walk-off buzzer beater.
Exactly. So it's a payback game. It's a rematch of the playoffs. I think the Nuggets actually have an opportunity to run Phoenix off the floor tonight.
Mm.
And that would not shock me at all. I'm bullish on the Nuggets.
See,
tonight.
I'm the opposite now. Now, the Suns are one of the only two teams to beat
mm-hmm.
the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like you're going to have a Booker situation where Booker's coming back. You got Durant sitting right there. We don't know about Bradley Beal right now.
I don't think he's going to play.
Okay.
I don't think.
And if Nurkic does play, is he going to play?
He didn't practice yesterday. We don't know yet. Yeah. So there's a couple things up in the air.
Yeah, but if Nurkic does play, this is one of these games, and I know it's a home court advantage for the Denver Nuggets. You really have to watch out for it. I really want to see if Booker and Durant, what they do together, because they haven't had a lot of time on the court together. But if both of them could click at the same time, that could be scary, not having someone like Jamal Murray playing. We don't know what kind of MPJ we're going to get.
Yeah.
Me personally, if MPJ's dealing with some stuff off the court, I would just let him sit down or kind of go home and kind of reflect on what's going on,
mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, because there's a lot of stuff going on in that
we talked about
life.
That earlier, like, hey, real-life problems.
Speaking of which, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm.
This is one of the biggest stories in sports right now, and it's hard to find.
Jonte?
Yeah. We had an NBA player bet on games and bet on himself to lose. This is a massive story, and it's not being treated like one, and I think I know why. Who is the leader of sports information, just in general? What outlet?
ESPN.
ESPN, yeah. By a country mile, with all due respect to FS1, Fox, all this stuff. ESPN is so deep in bed with the NBA in a multi-billion dollar deal. But what else happened this past year with ESPN is one of the least talked about things. Do you guys remember that Barstool and Penn Gaming fracture?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, David Portnoy gets to rebuy Barstool. That was a billion dollar. Yeah, that was a $1 billion deal that they did. It fell apart. What did Penn Gaming then do?
That's ESPN Bet.
That's ESPN Bet.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's ESPN Bet. So you have a league that has invested interest in the NBA naturally for billions of dollars, but now they're personally tied in the gambling world. You can't find the story. It wasn't on their top headlines. And with all due respect to whether it's UConn women's basketball or Ice Cube or the Broncos signing a wide receiver, this story is massive and it's not being treated like it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. The ESPN bet aspect of it too. Now, you know that they're paying a lot of money. They're partners with the NBA.
Yep.
But you add that other dynamic to it, and it's like it is a head-scratcher. You know, Otani stuff was happening too.
Yep.
But this is whether he bet or he had his buddies bet, you know, obviously, like, it's hard to ignore all the facts of that situation.
Yes.
And it's a bad, bad look. But you're right. It's kind of like, poof, gone. Yeah.
And you know that's going to happen with Otani. You know they're going to try to find a way.
They're already trying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's
I look at it different because I heard you mention it. Like I don't think he did anything wrong.
Otani?
Yeah, I think I don't
really
think, yeah.
Look at that smile. Look at that smile.
Hey.
No.
What?
Come on now.
I have got to tie half my brain behind my back.
Not me.
To think that's okay. You can leave yours in a pretzel.
If there's a smile in the air, there has to be a fire around.
I know.
But you changed the story three separate times within 72 hours and drastically changed it. Not just on the fringes. I mean, this got drastically changed.
Wait, he changed it.
Otani and his interpreter.
The initial story.
No, but Otani didn't change his story. The interpreter changed his story.
Yes.
Right? Is that right? I'm just, because I haven't dug into this.
But it also took Otani a week to say anything at all.
Oh, not a week.
He had to get his eggs in. He had to get the basket in there.
They were overseas, too. Got to get back. Got to get hydrated.
I forgot they don't have cameras over there.
He just got married. The man just got married. He was probably on his honeymoon.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But when this, we have to remember, it's not just an interpreter. These guys are best friends.
Yeah.
They've been tied at the hip for over a decade together. And when the story changes three different times and you have multiple wire transfers, that's the thing. It's like the initial story was I got in such debt that I had to go to Otani for $4.5 million. But when you look at the transfers, it's like there's a $500,000 transfer. There's a $400,000 transfer.
You got to space them out. You can't just do four and a half at once.
Why not?
Because the red flag's everywhere, Zach. So you got to do 500 here.
Oh, that's the red flag.
Yeah. You never wired $4.5 million? I do it all the time. That's what I got to do to stay below the radar, man. It's right there. Wife, no red flags for the wife. The feds aren't looking for me, and IRS isn't looking for me.
All right, perfect. All right. Ready? So how about you have a bunch of... You have a bunch of friends, right? You have friends. Right. How many of them know your routing number?
Well, they're not my interpreters. If I had an interpreter, he would know my routing number.
Like, think about that. How did he get into your... I just have to overextend my imagination.
Aren't they on your checks and stuff? Like, you got checks? I mean, you got your routing number on your check.
Okay,
but
a routing number's public. I'm just saying routing number to say routing number, but he's got his bank information.
Yeah, that's not hard, dude. You got bank statements laying around, dude. Otani's playing games, and it's very easy to do. Sometimes people, when they have that much money, that much success, they kind of just like are doing their thing.
But Otani knew what was going on.
Well, he might have known, and he might have tried to help his buddy out. I think he's a normal
human who's got a bunch of money, who, like Phil Mickelson, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, loves action. And it's like, you know, we were talking to Mike Kliss. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's like, he was like, you know, Otani's, I can't believe, I refuse to believe he's a good dude. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know a lot of good guys that like gamble on sports. Like, America does that.
That's right. Almost in general.
Doesn't
exactly
mean
that. Exactly. Get off that
like that. Mike hung the phone up.
A lot of us are bad guys then.
But it's like, it's just, I just think he's a human being. I think he's got a buddy that's next to him all the time that kind of gets to maybe bet for him or, you know, whatever the case. But
I just think
there's too much smoke for me to not believe there's some flame there.
I believe in Ohtani. And I believe he's telling me the truth.
Guess what? I like him more.
He's my type of guy.
We are off and rolling. We have so much to react to between the Avalanche win streak being snapped. We have a big game national TV with the Denver Nuggets. More stuff coming out of the owners' meetings. But first, out of nowhere, the Broncos swung for a wide receiver in free agency. What do we make of the new addition? That's where we'll start, coming up next. Out of nowhere, the Denver Broncos swung for a wide receiver in free agency. What do we make of the new addition of former Lions wide receiver Josh Reynolds? Signs a 2-year deal worth up to $14 million. We're still looking out for what's guaranteed with this contract.
Yeah.
And we'll pass that information along as soon as we get it. Adding to the wide receiver room, Phil, in 2023, Josh Reynolds had 40 receptions, just over 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, 14 yards per reception. Of the 40 receptions, 32 went for first downs in an offense that was really fun to watch in Detroit.
Yeah, I feel like it was a solid signing in the sense of you're trying to figure out what you're going to do in that situation now that Jerry Jeudy is gone. Having another veteran receiver in the building that has won games with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I went back and watched some of his film. Solid receiver. His hands at times, Zach, that's the issue with me, right?
I know.
You know, and it showed when they were playing, when the Detroit Lions were playing the San Francisco 49ers, Reynolds had 2 key drops that honestly probably lost the Detroit Lions the game.
So I forgot about that. You just reminded me about that during the commercial break, and I remember being like, oh my God. It was just cringy. So good memory there. And then you see the drop rate, and I'm reading this from Andrew Mason's Twitter account. His drop rate the last 2 years was a drop, and I actually can't believe this is real. Josh Reynolds dropped a pass the last 2 years, 1 out of every, call it 11 catchable passes. In that same span, Jerry Jeudy's drop rate was 1 every 18 catchable passes. So in the last 2 years, and if you remember, really, Jeudy's, like, the worst of his drops were in the first 2 years of his Broncos career. He still had them, but not to the drastic degree that he had in those first initial 2 years. So, I mean, Jeudy had more catches and yards in the last 2 years. Reynolds did have more touchdowns, but this is not some perfect player coming in here.
No, it's not no big-time game-changing signing either, but he's a solid veteran receiver that can also make some noise if he has to. My whole question is people are kind of saying, well, what's this mean for Cortland? It doesn't mean anything for Cortland. Cortland is their most consistent receiver they have. It doesn't mean nothing for Marvin Mims. Okay, I think Marvin Mims, they want to elevate his game. They want him to work on his route running, but he's the fastest receiver in the room. Now, it does say something to someone like Tim Patrick, who had to reshape his contract, and now he's on the vet minimum, all right, coming off of 2 season-ending injuries that are significant.
Yeah, ACL and Achilles.
Exactly. So you have to have some insurance there, and Reynolds is that insurance. And I think in camp we're going to see a battle between Tim Patrick and Reynolds. The only thing is going to be is how much money does Reynolds have up top? Like, how much is guaranteed? That's going to tell you a lot.
What is your guess, Mr. Philip Lindsay, on what is guaranteed here? Not holding you to it. I'm literally asking you to guess.
Yeah, I think he signed for $14 million, up to $14 million.
Right.
So that probably means incentives. Probably he's going to probably be guaranteed at least $6.5 million will be guaranteed to him. Which that still does not mean Tim Patrick is not going to be on the roster. Because if Tim Patrick becomes healthy like we know he can be.
Yes, yes.
And he stays consistent like we know he can be.
Yes.
He's definitely going to find a role for himself on that field because he is a consistent player that kind of is a heartbeat of the team when he's healthy.
Yeah, super competitive, has a super competitive spirit.
Yep.
That's very, loud. Like, you can be a competitor that's quiet.
Yeah.
Tim is his competitive. He like wears it on his sleeve, just like that NFL shield that he's got tattooed for sure on his arm. But I'm interested. Like, if all four guys are healthy, Broncos were a healthy team this past year, almost remarkably so. Who would be the odd man out when they go into a third, three wide?
Three wide, it's going to probably be Tim. And because they gave Reynolds so much more money than Tim.
You kind of follow it?
Yeah, you have to. Unless Tim just goes out there and just dominates during camp where it's like you have no choice but to put this man on the field. They're going to go with someone like Reynolds because they've given him that money.
Yeah.
I think they want Marvin Mims to be out there to scare people when it comes to his speed. And if he can come up with ways to get that route running ability cleaned up, he could be a problem in the passing game, especially when it comes to the slants. Three-step slants.
Sure.
At the speed that Marvin Mims has, man, he can kill them DBs.
Well, you know, I'm not in love with the signing. I'm just going to be honest.
Okay.
I'm not in love with it. It feels like a lot of money for a player that has that low of a reliability rating. And, you know, now, I'm not, just because I'm not in love with it doesn't mean I'm down on it. I'm honestly kind of neutral, which, you know, some people tell you not to be in sports talk radio, just be an extreme one or the other. I just got to be real. The reliability rating scares me. It does. And, you know, it feels like I'm waiting to hear the guaranteed money. But let's just say it's between $6 and $7 million.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a guy that drives us nuts? Mm. Who's dropping a pass one out of every 10.75 catchable passes, let's just call it 11, that's not healthy. That is not healthy. And we just moved on from a guy here in Broncos country who was not a reliable player. Now, when he was burning bright, he's fantastic. Talking about Judy. I don't know if Reynolds burns as bright as Judy does when he's at his best, and he's less reliable over a two-year span, which is significant, in my least favorite on-field part of Judy's game, and that's catching the football. And it just feels like a lot of money for a guy with that kind of combination whose peak is not what Judy's is, and he's less reliable than Judy, and he's getting up to $14 million over 2 years. It just, this doesn't feel like a slam dunk signing for me.
Yeah, Zach, you have to look at it as, what's the market looking like right now? What other receivers are out there? Are there other receivers that are better than Reynolds and who has had some of the big play ability like Reynolds? When you go back and watch his film and what he has done for the Detroit Lions, he still went for 600 yards. And there was a lot of different receivers out there that were getting the ball that are better than Reynolds at that
time. Sure,
right?
Sure.
You're here. You have Courtland Sutton, who you know is your most consistent receiver. You don't really know what you got on Marvin Mims. You don't know if Tim's going to be healthy. So Reynolds is going to be your next best option. And for him, it's more of a confidence thing, saying, I have a chance to make more plays over here than I did at Detroit. I have a chance to fill in and fit in what Sean wants done, because Reynolds is another one that does a lot of slants. He's a bigger, longer body that helps somebody like Jarrett Stidham, who likes to throw those balls on, you know, with pace, with rhythm, with the processing. But this sign to me just shows that they're trying to secure and shore up the receiver room for whoever's going to be the quarterback, whether it's going to be a rookie or Jarrett Stidham.
Okay. So in your opinion, and we'll see how it plays out, I'm asking you something about, you know, a football team that's going to play in the fall in March. Do you think the Broncos got better today?
I did.
Good.
In my opinion, the Denver Broncos got better in the receiving room. They shored up the receiving room because we don't know what we got out of Tim Patrick. And I think they have another, so I'm not going to say another Tim Patrick, but his body build, it looks exactly similar
to what
Tim Patrick is.
Yeah, he's like 6'3", 195, 200 pounds, you know.
You know.
I want to circle back to this conversation at a certain point in time, and I want to look through the lens of just one guy in that room, and I look forward to circling back a little bit later in the show and discussing that with you. We are off and rolling on a hump day. Thanks for making us a small part of your Wednesday, and we have a playoff rematch on national television for the Denver Nuggets. What's on the line as Kevin Durant and Devin Booker return to the Mile High City? That is coming up next. A lovely day. TV game tonight. ESPN at 8 o'clock here locally. And it's a rematch of the second round of the playoffs last year. Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker returning to the Mile High City. Man, I remember being at these games last year at Ball Arena, and it was just like, I just can't wait till we're there again in less than a month. It's
how many more games we got? We got 9 or 10?
Yeah, I think it's not. I think it might be 9. I'll double check here. But you know what? They're, what are they? 40?
It might be 9 games left.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, they're 51-21. So 51 plus 21 is 72. Yep. There's 82 in a season. They have 10 games left. 10 games left.
10 games.
Looking forward to this one. Same for you?
Oh, I'm excited about it. I'm excited. I cannot wait. I wish I was going to the game today to be in that building. But I'll be watching it from my couch.
Yep, me too. Nice, safe and sound and cozy. We don't know exactly who's going to play specifically for either side. There's some question marks. For the Suns, Bradley Beal left the game early in their most recent game against San Antonio, which, by the way, was just a bad loss for Phoenix. It was one of those deals where they played, and I don't like that the NBA does this, and they, you know, this wasn't a thing like even as recent as 2 years ago, where they play back-to-back games against the same opponent and staying in the same city. Like, we've seen home and home where, like, they play San Antonio on a Tuesday, then they'll host San Antonio on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But playing back-to-back games against the Spurs, both in San Antonio, they killed them. They killed them the first game. And then the second game, they lose by a bucket in a game where Victor Wembanyama didn't even play. So it was a bad loss. And then they'll try to bounce back. Before that, they had won 3 in a row and 4 of their last 5. So they were playing well. Phil.
They're starting to heat up. I mean, when they're all together, it's going to be hard to beat the Suns. But that's the problem, Zach. They're never all together.
Right.
Right. This is going to be our first time watching Durant and Booker be together, and we haven't seen that in a very long time. Now, Bradley Beal gave us some problems last time he played, and he may not play. And that's kind of why I'm looking at this game, and I'm like, this game right here is a quiet game that can end up being out of our favor just because of the time, the place. The Suns just lost a bad game.
Yeah.
All right, to the Spurs.
Which you know I don't like.
No, you don't like that.
No.
I don't like it either.
I want them to win 5 in a row coming in here.
Yeah. And we all know when you have to play the Denver Nuggets, you get up for that game.
Sure.
You get up for it.
Yep.
Right? It's going to be on TV. Everybody can watch it. They already beaten the Denver Nuggets once. They know how to beat them. Kevin Durant's going to try to take over the game. You know that.
Yep.
You know, the whole thing for me is, can Booker and Durant coexist together? And if they can, it's going to be a problem.
Well, if you remember that game last time around, the Suns were, and it's only one of two losses since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
The Suns were dominating the game. And then in the fourth quarter, Denver stormed all the way back and allowed Phoenix to score just 12 points total in the fourth quarter. And Phoenix, then they go into overtime. And I remember because I live bet the Nuggets once they came all the way back. Do you remember me telling you that?
Oh, yeah.
Because Phoenix, worst fourth quarter team in the entire NBA, Denver Nuggets, best crunch time team in the entire NBA. Crunch time defined by 5 minutes or less in the game when the game is within 5 points. And then they put 5 minutes on the clock for OT, and Denver had just stormed back. I'm like, oh, Denver's not losing this game.
Easy points, right?
And they went on to not only lose, Bradley Beal started hitting shots in overtime. Kevin Durant was hitting shots in overtime. It's hard to lose an overtime game by double figures because there's only just 5 minutes on the clock, but that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and now we're coming into this game, the Suns, the Denver Nuggets, and we don't know if Gordon's going to play.
Right.
We don't know what kind of person we're going to get in MPJ.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, I think that a lot of what's going on in MPJ's life is going to affect him on the court right now until things kind of get situated.
How could it not, too, by the way?
He's a human being,
yeah.
You know, and he's young at that. And it's his brothers.
Right.
Right? Jokic is back, but we don't know. Like, he had to take some time off because of, was it his back again?
Well, you know, you're thinking of the game in Portland on Friday. Was it Friday night or Saturday night? I forget.
He came back, had 29 points.
Yeah.
You know, and so we still have to watch that. And Jamal Murray, I don't expect Jamal to play. I don't expect Jamal to play.
You don't?
No.
Okay. I'm expecting them all to play.
Do you?
Yeah. The shoe is on the other foot with me sitting right across the table from you. I think the Nuggets are going to play everyone tonight, and they're going to win, potentially going away. I mean, we'll see. I don't care which way it happens as long as they win.
Yeah.
This is a payback game, man. This is a payback game. They did not have the right, especially in the second half of that game against, if you remember, not to get too deep in the weeds, it was the second quarter in that game against Phoenix. They got outscored in that game against Phoenix in the second quarter, 37-18. And I know they remember that, and I think they'll be out for blood tonight. I think they take care of business. I think Aaron Gordon plays. I think Jamal plays. I think Jokic has a triple-double.
10 games left before the big show starts.
Yes.
And you're willing to put everybody out there if they're not fully healthy.
Well, I didn't say that.
You're saying that they're going to play?
I think Jokic is fine.
Okay.
I think Jamal, he tweaked his ankle a little bit last week and had been dealing with shin splints, but they held him out against Portland, and then they held him out against, who the heck did they just play two nights ago? It was Memphis. Thank you. I think if that was a meaningful game, he would have played against Memphis.
Okay.
He hasn't played now, I think, in, what is it, maybe 6 days?
He needs the rest, man.
Well, he just got it. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be fine.
Aaron Gordon has some kind of issue. Was he his groin? Was that the case?
Wait, for who? Excuse me.
Aaron Gordon.
You know what? I don't know. I thought that was just a load management game for Gordon because it was Jamal and Jokic who didn't play against the Blazers, and then it was Jamal and Aaron Gordon who didn't play against Memphis. And I don't think there's a specific injury. I thought that was just load management, but he's been dealing with stuff. He's had a heel stuff and an elbow, and so.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then yeah, he's going to play. But I thought he had something wrong because I know that MPJ had an illness. Aaron Gordon has something that he was dealing with.
We'll circle back.
Yeah, hey, guys, he's actually got, apparently, it's like a right plantar fascia strain.
Okay. It wouldn't shock me if they keep him out then.
Okay.
But even without Aaron Gordon, if Jusef Nurkic doesn't play, and we talked about this at the top really briefly with Stokely and Josh, there's a thing there between Nurkic and Jokic, and I don't know why Jokic doesn't go at Nurkic like Nurkic goes at Jokic, because it's clearly, it feels like a one-way street, and I don't know if Jokic doesn't take him as seriously as Nurkic is trying to, but if he doesn't play, I think this is going to be curtains for Phoenix because there's no one who can guard Jokic if Jusef Nurkic doesn't play. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I can't wait for this one. I'll be fully locked in a payback game. Denver got outscored in overtime 15-5 this past month against Phoenix. So I think the other shoe is going to drop. We'll see. I hope I'm right. And we only have a few hours to find out. All right. What happened last night? The streak is snapped. Blip on the radar or something else? That's next. It's a candy. I can feel it when you walk. All right, the winning streak is over for the Colorado Avalanche. They lose at home to a sub-500 Montreal Canadiens team by the score of 2-1. They mustered a single tally last night in their own barn, and it happened within the first minute of the contest.
43 seconds.
Yeah, 43 seconds in from MacKinnon. That's like, I guess, like the silver lining that relates to just him and I guess us as fans, as he gets to continue his streak, which is turning into like just stuff of legend.
Yeah. And we talked about this, I want to say, the other day, and we were like, and you express how when you're in that arena and everybody's so tight because they wanted MacKinnon to get that point. Right?
Yeah.
Well, he did it so fast, and I think everybody was so loose, like, oh, we got this in the bag now. Yeah. You know, now we just can focus on just beating up Montreal. But, you know, that wasn't the case.
It was not the case. And, you know, if you looked at their record, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday in the back half of the show, if you looked at their record alone, you're not going to see anything impressive. You're just not. But if you looked closer at the games and you looked at, you know, something I brought up is, 12 different times they went to overtime and lost.
Yeah.
12 overtime losses. That is feels like just an extraordinary amount, but that just means that 12 different times the score's tied at the end of regulation.
Yeah, they're playing tough.
They're playing tough. And if you look at them this past month, you're looking at like a 3-2 loss in overtime to Edmonton, a 2-1 loss against the Bruins, a 3-2 loss against the Maple Leafs, a 4-3 loss in a shootout to Tampa. So they've been playing really, really tough, but the results haven't been there. They got the result last night in Colorado, which is unusual to see. That's how good this Avs team has been at home.
Yeah, but when you're watching the game, Zach, you can tell that Montreal was on the defensive side of the ice, where they were so worried about the power in what the Colorado Avalanche bring to the table, that they were willing to give up some of the scoring to stop Colorado from scoring. And you've seen that. They were clogging you know, different holes throughout the time.
Lanes.
Yep. Different spots. And so it was just a messy game all around. It was sluggish at times from the Colorado Avalanche. There wasn't a lot going on other than the first period, where the Colorado Avalanche scored first, and then Montreal scored right back within 11 seconds, and then Montreal scored again.
Crazy.
You know, after that, it was just kind of back and forth. Onanen did okay at times. He had a couple really big saves. But also you let two goals go after getting paid the bag.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, though, you know.
It does. And their goaltender, I thought, was mostly fantastic.
He did really good.
You know, it big deal. I don't think it's a big deal at all, despite losing against a sub-500 team in your own building. I just think it's tough pro sports to get up emotionally every single night. And the Avs have a target on their back in general against a team who had been really, really blue-collar scrappy over the last month.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. You know, it does suck that we snapped the streak.
Yeah.
But Sean Walker had two big mistakes.
Yes,
man.
He did.
You know, and it sucked to have to say his name, saying he was one of the biggest reasons why, you know, they probably didn't win.
Yeah,
win
it is what
game.
It is.
Let's just put it out there. You know, Sean Walker had two where he had the stick in.
Yeah, it was a high sticking with like five minutes left, four something left in the game, and it was a double, right? It was a double minor.
It was like 4 minutes in.
Exactly. So and so that's like the time where you're like full court press on trying to tie this game. It was just a really, really ill-timed penalty. And you know, you look at the power play too. You know, the Avalanche power play 0-for-3 with just two shots on goal.
Yeah.
That's unusual. That's unusual. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's a big deal. Didn't sound like Bednar thought it was a big deal after the game either.
We've had been on a pretty good run here lately, big emotional game. It's not, I mean, it can happen, right? You just don't have it every single night, but it's still frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, you want to win all these games.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at Montreal and the schedule at home, and you just kind of put the win in your pocket before it even starts. You know, didn't turn out like that. Now the Avs, and it's probably going to teeter-totter like this here over the next couple weeks here before the season's end, but the Avs fall back into second place in the division. Right now, Phil, if the playoffs started today, they would face Winnipeg in the first round, and I'm curious, and Drew, I want to bring into this conversation too, like when we start talking about more ideal matchups, and it is that time, like to start kind of forecasting and looking ahead, because the season's going to be over here. Last game of the year for the Avs is April 18th. Right now, it's March 27th. So it is right around the corner. We're just a couple weeks away. So right now, if the playoffs started, the Avs would face Winnipeg in the first round. And the question is that a better matchup? Is that more ideal than playing a Nashville team who feels like hasn't lost in 2024. I mean, holy crap.
You're almost not wrong. I mean, seriously, in their last 18 games, the Nashville Predators, 16-0-2.
That is insane.
It's incredible what they're doing. Now, I mean, it kind of goes to show, like, they got out to a little bit of a slow start to start the year, but they've been red hot basically ever since, what, I think middle of January, I think that is. And, you know, I saw the funny stat the other night that Jakob Trenin, who now plays for the Ice
Kings, I saw this.
He, up until last night, he hadn't lost a game since the beginning of February, because he was like, I think, 7-0 with the Predators during the beginning of their streak.
Yes.
And he was 8-0 with the Avalanche. So kind of a really cool stat. But, I mean, guys, that Nashville game last night against Vegas, they were down 3-0 in the first period in that game.
And they won.
They won 5-4 in overtime against a team that they're battling in the wild card race.
Right.
So Honestly, yeah, I mean, if you ask me right now, but if you look and say, okay, they're possible playoff matchups. Dallas, Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas. To me, that Winnipeg seems, now I don't want to say it's the easiest path, but maybe the path of least resistance, I guess.
Better matchup.
Yeah, just because Winnipeg's they've kind of been on the downturn. They got off to a really good start this year, but they have not been playing as well since the turn of the calendar. So the only thing that scares me about a Winnipeg team is that they've got the goalie that can steal a series for you. Connor Hellebuyck is one of the two or three best goalies in the league. That always should frighten you when you go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if I had to choose between those four teams and who I want to play in the first round.
It's Winnipeg, right?
It's Winnipeg.
I agree. So we'll see. Look, you're not going to be able to like pick your opponent a la carte. We'll see how it plays out here over the next couple weeks. I'm comfortable with whoever the Avs match up with.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to go out there and you have to play really good hockey. And if you do that, you're going to win. And I have really, really good confidence in the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, and how about McKinnon? I got to circle back one more time because he becomes the first player in the history of NHL hockey to have 2-point streaks of at least 19 games in the same damn season. That is incredible. His first run was the longest point streak in the league, so he's got both longest point streaks in the entire league in the same season. Like that,
he's so good, man.
It's a wrap.
He's good.
Mail the Hart Trophy to Denver, Colorado.
I feel like we've been saying that for like 2 months.
Yes, we have, and it's been true the entire time.
I know, but somewhere down the line, something always comes up. Always. You're like, come on,
the guy who keeps coming up, aces, is Nathan McKinnon. Send the trophy. Attention, Nathan McKinnon, Ball
Let's
Arena.
Go.
All right. Is your bracket busted? No worries. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game tomorrow. All right, as we shift gears, is there a new Broncos option at quarterback on the not-so-distant horizon? That's next.